Message. Because I love how the Holy Spirit just brings things together from the different parts of the worship service, whether it be how Anita picks out the hymns every week that connect so often with the way I'm preaching, even though I don't tell her in advance necessarily all that I'm going to speak about, or how about I'm thinking about a message throughout the weeks, and the illustrations just pop up out of nowhere, it seems. Or when current events line up with the scripture passages I pick and decide upon each week. Because I'm not sure if you guys know it or not, but the messages I preach, I plan ahead of time. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me in what he wants me to preach for the next few months. I kind of plan ahead, and so I kind of have an idea and a scripture and a way where I'm going in months in advance. And in fact, I already know in a general sense what I'm going to preach on through the month of September already. I've already got those kind of all lined up, and it's kind of interesting how world events and things that happen in our nation kind of connect, even though I've planned this months ahead. I've even started thinking about what God's asked me to do for the last 3 months of the year as well. So 2 or 3 months ago, as I was looking at dates here to preach here in June, I knew I was going to be in the middle of the Minor Prophets. Majoring on the minor has been our theme for the last several weeks now. And I thought, well, the Minor Prophets don't really fit with the Father's Day message. And so I kind of left that blank for a while. And I got the idea, as I was thinking more about it, when I talk about fathers, and the song popped in my mind, Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. And so it just popped in my mind, and so I wrote it down a couple months ago, but I really didn't think about it as I was continuing preaching through the Minor Prophets. I did not know much about that, and then I got to this week, and I thought, okay, I had this planned. What am I going to talk about? You know, I've literally was at a loss for words. I really struggled putting the sermon together because I did not know where the Holy Spirit was leading me. I kept praying and pondering and kept wondering how he was going to guide me. I felt he led me to this title, and I kind of had an introduction thought out, but I wondered, what about Abraham did God want me to preach about? I struggled. I put it off. I procrastinated. I kept trying to think. And then Friday night happened, and he made the timing of Friday night just so happened, made it clear what he wanted me to bring this morning and all fit together. And so I'll tell you about that later in my sermon, but that's kind of what I was struggling with this week. So I'll tell you about that later on in the message. Let me start my sermon this morning for you then with how God has done this. Growing up in church, one of the songs I often remember singing was Father Abraham. How many have sang that song? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just phrase it. It's a wonderful song with a lot of movement. And it's a kid's song because it has a lot of movement. It has right arm, left arm, right. And you've probably heard that song or maybe sung it or tried to get those active younger kids trying to move around and kind of get some of that spent-up energy built up in them kind of released. But as I was younger, and even now these days, I thought, what about Father Abraham and being his son has to do with all this movement? You know, it says, well, let's just praise the Lord, and we're praising the Lord by moving our arms and legs. It just doesn't make sense to you guys. It didn't to me. It didn't to me as I thought about this, even as I was younger. I mean, if I would tell you, praise the Lord. How would you praise the Lord if I told you to do something to praise the Lord? Would it be, you know, would it be that kind of movement? No. I mean, you might raise your hand and praise the Lord or shout or sing or maybe if you're in a special church, a dance, dance around praising the Lord. I don't know, but it's not the right arm, left foot, all kinds of thing, is it? But as I thought about the message that I'd bring to fathers this morning to celebrate Father's Day, I thought about this song. And so I'm going to do the message on Abraham this morning and his sons. Because God promises many things. And you have your outline in your bulletin there. And God promised Abraham things in the Bible this morning. Three times in the book of Genesis, God comes to Abraham with a promise, promises to Abraham. And the first is right off the bat when we're introduced to the man named Abram, before he became Abraham. When we start reading his story in Genesis 12, we read this. And I don't have it down here. I thought I had it on my slide, but I don't have it on the slide. Is it two slides ahead? No, it's not. Okay. Anyways, it says in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land which I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you.'" Now, God comes to Abraham right at the beginning, before Abraham does anything good or bad. In fact, he was a pagan in a foreign land. And God comes to him and says, "Abraham, I'm going to do this to you." And Abraham did what God asked him to do. God promises Abraham to be a great nation, have many sons, have a great name, a great blessing, and all the earth would be blessed through him. And like I said, this is before Abraham did anything that we read about in the Bible, good or bad. But it's after this that we read that he obeyed God. He left his country, his family, his people, and traveled into the land of Canaan. Several years after this event and several stories later in the Bible, God again comes to Abraham a second time. And this time God focuses on the great nation, the many sons that he has. And again, up to this point in the story, Abraham has no sons, and so he focuses on the sons of Abraham. He says there in Genesis 15, "Look up at the stars and count the stars, if you indeed can count them." Then God said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And then right after this comes the famous quote that Paul quotes in the New Testament, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and he was credited it to him as righteousness." And so God goes on to promise Abraham that the land he was living in would be given to him. And then yet a third time in the book of Genesis, a few chapters later, God again comes to Abraham and promises him these same things. He promises that Abraham would be a father of many nations, that he would be given the land he was living in as an everlasting possession there in chapter 17 of Genesis. And so some have pointed out that, as my Bible teacher has, that God gave Abraham LSB. Now, don't confuse this with LSD, which is the hallucinatory drug. He gave LSB, which stands for land, seed, and blessing. Land, the promised land of Israel, was promised to him from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. That he would be given seed, that his descendants would be uncountable, and a blessing, that he would be a blessing, and so his offspring would bless the entire world. That was one of the promises that God gave to Abraham. But if you read through the story of Abraham, none of those promises came true in his lifetime. They were all unfulfilled. So we see, secondly, Abraham's promises are not unfulfilled. None of these came true in Abraham's life. We're told that Abraham lived 175 years, which is an awful long time. And yet when he died, the land that he owned in the land of Canaan was just a small plot of ground where he buried his wife and where he himself was buried. That's all that Abraham owned when he died. He didn't have the land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. In fact, we read in the rest of the Bible that the rest of the land was not fully given to the people of Israel, to Abraham's sons and descendants, until King Solomon reigned 1,000 years after Abraham died. He had none of that. That was unfulfilled in his life. Now, what about his seed, his descendants? Well, he didn't have many descendants alive when he died either. Now, listen to some of these facts. I kind of went through some of the stories and kind of looked up some of the different ages that the people died. You all know that Abraham had two main sons, by Hagar, Ishmael, and by Sarah, his wife, Isaac. So he had at least two children, but many of you don't know this and probably didn't read it because it's just one little verse in the life of Abraham. Before Abraham died, he married another wife, and I just lost her name. I don't have it written down. Calda, I think it's. Anyways, he married another wife, And he had six more sons that are listed in the Bible there. So he has eight sons when he dies. Now, and he could have had more that are not recorded in the Bible. And those are the eight that are recorded. And he could have had daughters. I don't know if he had daughters. The Bible doesn't list any daughters, nor probably would it at this point in history in the Bible story. But he had eight sons. Now, as far as grandsons, his son Ishmael, his firstborn, was 89 years old when he died, when Abraham died. And he had lived 48 more years after that. And he was told in the Bible to have 12 sons. Ishmael had 12 sons. So probably in those first 89 years, he had some. And probably in the last 48 years after Abraham died, he had others. I don't know. But possibly 12 grandsons from there. His son Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And we're not sure if they were born before or after Abraham died. Isaac was 75 years old when Abraham died. And we're told that he was 40 years old when he got married to Rebekah. And so within 35 years, he could have had sons, the two twin sons that he had. But we're told that Rebekah was barren for a while. So we don't know how long she was barren. And so they could or could not have been born. But I'm going to count them as being born anyways. Their story is told after Abraham's death. But I'm going to include their two sons in the grandson total as well. Plus, we read that the six other children of Abraham, his other sons, had seven grandsons listed, and they are listed before Abraham's death, but he only had 38 years after Sarah died to marry and to have sons before he died. And so I'm not sure if in those 38 years he had those seven grandsons as well. So with all this information gleaned from various passages, we know that Abraham had eight sons, and if we include all the possibilities of grandsons, 21 other grandsons. So possibly 29 people in total, if we counted everyone there. I don't think everyone was born by that time as grandsons, so I would say somewhere around 20 people. Now, I had a verse up there before, as many as the stars in the skies. Now, I can count 20 stars in the sky. That's not the promise fulfilled, okay? He only had probably 20 people in his family, so that promise was unfulfilled. And so we see the first land, the seed, second unfulfilled blessing. Well, God promises to bless Abraham, and Abraham probably saw some of God's blessing. We read that he was rich and had many herds, had many people in his thing, and he was a blessing to others. We read, especially in the story of Lot, how he blessed others and how he did that. But as far as blessing all the peoples on the earth, being blessed through Abraham, that really wasn't fulfilled until the New Testament time when Jesus came, because Jesus was that blessing to all the nations. So 2,000 years took place after his death when Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, came. So none of these three promises were fulfilled during Abraham's time. It's like what it says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. All these people died, and it's talking about these faithful people of God that are listed there in chapter 11 of Hebrews. All these people died while still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. And yet, we know from the Bible God does fulfill promises, that promises are fulfilled, as we see in the third section of our outline this morning. Like I said, Solomon was one of Abraham's descendants and did conquer the land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kezites, the Kadamonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgazites, and the Jebusites, all these different gites. You see that fulfilled in 1 Kings chapter 4, 22, that King Solomon conquered all these nations and the promise of Abraham was fulfilled. And we see that his seed, the second part, the LSB part, the S part, that the Jewish nation sprang up from Isaac and Jacob, that the Arab nations rose up from his other son, Ishmael, Smaller nations we hear about in the Bible that came from his other children and grandchildren, like Edom and Sheba and Midian, are all children of Abraham and grandchildren and descendants of him. And it's not just these nations that are children of Israel, but then we read about in the New Testament how we are sons and daughters of Abraham too if we live by faith, the same faith that Abraham lived. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham had faith that God credited to him as righteousness. And again, this was before Abraham did anything. He didn't have circumcision. He didn't had faith in God before this. God promised all these things to Abraham. And so Paul says there in Romans chapter 4, verses 12, he is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but those who walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So everyone, all nations, can come by faith and become Abraham's sons. So therefore, as we sing the song, I am one of them, and so are you, because of the faith like Abraham. Whether circumcised or not, we have Abraham as our father. And so all who believe are considered Abraham's descendants, and his seed continually multiplies. It is truly now considered more than the sands of the sea or the stars in the skies. Galatians 3 is another place where Paul uses this argument. Here his argument is about whether salvation is by faith or by works. And so he says, he uses example as Abraham. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, us non-Jews, by faith, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so what is faith? That's a question I came up with this morning, is what is faith? Of course, we can use a quote from the great verses in Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things not seen. But how is that seen in our lives? And this is the point of the sermon where I was really struggling with, because up to this point I had it together and I just didn't know how to finish it out, okay? And then Friday night came, like I said. Friday night we had a movie here, Frozen 2. Now, Frozen 2 is a Disney movie. It's not exactly a faith-based company and movie necessarily, but there was one song in there that just struck me. It just struck me. I'm not sure if any of you saw the movie. This was my first time seeing it, but there was a song in there. Now, for those who don't know the movie, the main characters from Frozen, go on a mission to an enchanted forest. I'm not going to get all the plot line there, but toward the end of the movie, the main character, Elsa, who's the ice princess, goes off on her own to do what she needs to do, and her sister Anna is trying to chase after her, but she gets lost, and her and the funny snowman, magical snowman, Olaf, gets lost in a cave. And because of Elsa's being far away and because of what's happening to her, Olaf starts turning into snowflakes. He starts dying, essentially. And so Anna's stuck in a cave, in the darkness of a cave, and kind of worried what's happening to Elsa and to Olaf. She's in her grief, she searches for strength to carry on. And so she sings this song, essentially to boost her morale, to get her out of this grief, to let her know what she needs to do next. This is a song essentially about pulling yourself up together and pressing on. She doesn't know what to do or where to go, but she needs to not give up. It's what this whole thing. And if you look at it from a world's perspective, it's kind of a pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on moving despite all the grief and despite all the worries and concerns. And that's that kind of song, but song that I can do this on my own type of thing. But if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, I see a lot of a song about faith. Let me read about some of the lyrics in this song here. She sings, but a teeny voice whispers in my mind, you are lost, hope is gone. But you must go on and do the next right thing. Can there be a day beyond this night? I don't know what's true anymore. I can't find my direction. I'm all alone. The only star that guided me was you. She's speaking of Elsa, but again, if you spiritualize it, the only star that we follow is you. How to rise from the floor when it's not rising for you? Just do the next right thing. Take a step. Step again. It is all about that I can do. That is all that I can do. The next right thing. And it goes on. I won't look too far ahead. That's too much for me to take. But break it down to this next breath, this next step, this next choice is one I can make. So I will walk through this night stumbling blindly toward the light to do the next right thing. Starting to hear what I heard? That faith to do the next right thing? And with the dawn, what comes then when it's clear that everything will never be same again? Then I'll make that choice to hear that voice and do the next right thing. And I thought, ta-da! There's my sermon. There's the conclusion to my sermon. It was like a light just came off, and I thought, wow. That song, even though, again, it's a secular song, it's about boosting your own morale, that God is asking us by faith to do the next right thing. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's not just the big belief, I believe God, and bam, you're saved, and that's all there is to faith. That does take faith. Salvation is by faith and by faith alone. But listening to the God as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, to do the next right thing is what God calls us to do. This is what Abraham did. You know, Abraham, if you read through chapters 12 through 25, just took the next right step to do the right thing. If you read through chapter 11 of Hebrews with all these people of faith, that is what they did in their lives of faith. What was the next right thing that God is calling me to do? And they did it in faith. They listened to God's voice and did what he asked them to do. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's what it's all about. So I ask you this morning, what is your next step of faith that God is calling you to do? What is the next step that you need to take in faith? Because faith is just more than believing. It's living. Salvation by faith and by faith alone is true, but faith does more than just save you. The Bible tells us that we must walk by faith, Romans 4:12. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are told to live by faith. And here's where it comes full circle. Again, the big idea that I was looking for all week suddenly came, because God wants us to take that next right step. And that's how Father Abraham, the song, makes sense. Can you think about that? Because we're sons of Abraham, what's God calling us to do? Right arm, let's do something. Left arm, let's walk somewhere. Let's do something for God. Let's not just turn around and sit down. But you know what I'm saying here? It's the Father Abraham song all over. That's what faith is. This song that we learn as children, that until yesterday, I thought, well, how does this connect to our walk? How does this connect to how God wants us to live with Abraham as our father? So all you followers out there, Father Abraham, you're children of Abraham, God's calling you to right arm, right foot, left foot, whatever. Do the next right thing. When we move our leg, we're moving to do the next right thing. We're moving our arms. There's a connection between these movements and the song. This is the praise and faith that God is calling each of us to do. And here's the cherry on the top. Anita picked hymn number 4041 as our closing hymn this morning. Again, I don't ask her necessarily. Sometimes I ask her to do certain songs, but most of the time she picks these songs out at random. No such thing. It's the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit just put this on there because the title of the song is Take Time to Be Holy. Take Time to Be Holy. And that's what this hymn is all about.